Well, welcome to the Human Golf Show, a very different episode than what we would normally have. We decided to come on site today. And this year, a big drive for us is that we educate the consumers a little bit on what happens within the golf industry, you know, when it comes to club fitting, when it comes to ball fitting, when it comes to where you need to be careful on certain marketing messages that we always get. And also very important to us, we're not pushing any particular brand today. We're not pushing any particular type of fitter today. But we have got next to me the two of the most professional and experienced fitters in the country. We have Andrew Plint with us from Titleist, which is the National Fitment Manager for Titleist. And then we've also got my co-host and a valuable member to the Human Golf Show, Arthur Hornier, that's the founder and owner of TrueFit. And between them, there's great synergy between Titleist and Arthur. And also, Titleist is an incredible brand. We all know it. We all love it. And I'll quote one of our podcast guests recently, the most holistic brand in the world when it comes to golf. We want to make this so organic to you today. You know, we don't want to have an agenda when we do this. We're all just normal guys that love the golf industry and want to see it grow. And today, we want to just show you the right philosophy. What is the philosophy around fitting and what it's supposed to be? And we want to become authorities when it comes to this. And we felt that the Human Golf Show had a gap to come and show this morning. So welcome to everybody. Be with us for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half today. We're going to try and get through as much as possible and then condense it for you. And the whole purpose for this is that you become a more educated consumer when it comes to your own game. And the reason we love fitting is that I'm talking now from outside professional industries within golf. My perception on fitting was always, okay, you're talking about high expensive cost. You're talking about it's only for the elite. You're talking about it's only for low handicappers that's supposed to get to a certain point within their game. Then you need to go for a fitting. But fitting is for all of us as golfers. Fitting is whether you start in golf tomorrow and hit it for the first time. And you'll see with fitters as well, when your swing is at a particular point, there's no point in fitting. So that's why coaches and fitters work so closely together. I have personally experienced it with Arthur, and we'll go into it now, where Arthur sent me back to the coaching tables so that I can have a stability in my swing. And the reason we want to mention this is that if you are starting off with golf today, start with a coach. The clubs that you have in your hand is really irrelevant. And I'm speaking from a general perspective. It's only when you start to take your swing seriously that you need to understand that if you want to have the same fun you have with perfect conditions like a driving range, you need to know what your swing is like, why these guys fit the way that they fit. And it's confusing to us as consumers. We see all these different brands. We see all these different shafts. We hear about the things from a professional sense if you listen to or watch golf over the weekend. But those are from professional, the 1% of golfers in the world. And today we want to talk to the other 99% of all consumers. So welcome to the show. Andrew Plint, thank you very much for your time today. We really do appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for being here and thanks for bringing the Human Golf Show into our National Fitting Center. The main idea here, Albert and Arthur, is to show you guys what happens here on a daily basis. And at the moment, this is my facility to run, and I'm the one conducting the fittings here. So we're going to try and make it exactly the same as what you would experience if you did come for a fitting with us.
Yeah, and I think from my side, I think the crucial thing that we're looking for today is educating the consumer, like Albert said, and actually put a bit of pressure on the other guys to say, this is the industry norm that we're looking for in South Africa in terms of fitting. This is how a fitting should be experienced in South Africa. Wherever you go, I want to encourage all the companies, the fitting companies, the big box retailers, to actually put a bit more effort into it and make sure it's done properly. Golf clubs are super, super expensive. And for me, and I know for Plinty and for guys at TrueFit all around South Africa, we want to make sure the customers are having the right fitting and the right golf clubs. And when they purchase the golf clubs, it's actually the right stuff. So you're not wasting your money and searching for something that's not there. So looking forward to today. And Nick, you're going to have to do some good things for us today. So I hope you enjoy it too.
you'll see on camera today, look at the professional setup that you find yourself in today. And that excites me, Andrew and Arthur, because you've raised the bar of what a setup must look like. And if you ever experience TrueFit and the existing customers, but also know it's an incredible environment that you go into. And it's conducive to selling you clubs. But today, it's what parameters do you need to really be on the lookout for? What do you really need to have an understanding on? So that you, when you do go for fitting, because there's no way the consumers are just going to know all of this stuff after watching one episode.
Yeah, exactly.
And understand it. You know, we sometimes hear all these terms, but we don't necessarily always understand why you guys do what you do. And we also try and something very different here today. We're trying to take a national brand, an international, I'm talking South Africa, like Titleist, which, you know, whether the other OEMs want to hear it or not, still has the vast majority of presence in South Africa. But we also brought Arthur part of it because Arthur also has a diverse knowledge on different OEMs and clubs and etc. So today, thank you very much for everybody's time. I hope that I can stick to this when I say I will be very quiet from here on because I certainly don't have the knowledge that these guys do. And what's interesting is, can we start off a little bit with talking about ball fitting?
Yeah.
Because, Andrew, the idea is our driver, we maybe use 8 to 12 times a round.
Yeah.
But the ball, depending on your handicap, you're going to be hitting it 70 or 65 times, or 120 times for the day. It really depends. So talk us a little bit about golf ball fitting.
Yeah. So as Titleist in South Africa and worldwide, we're a golf ball company and we started off that way. So Titleist was originally formed, and Jesse would have talked about this in your podcast with him, but that was our first product that we made. So still to this day, it's the number one product that we make, and that's our main focus because it's the only piece of equipment that you use on every single shot. When you get to the green where you need the performance and where half of your game is, that ball might not give you the best performance there. So when it comes to golf ball fitting, using our range from Pro V1, Pro V1X down the line into our performance range of balls as well, we fit from the green back to the tee box. And the main reason for that is we can't custom fit your feel as well as we can custom fit a driver's performance.
Correct.
So if you prefer a bump and run style chipping method compared to one that's a little bit higher with more spin, you need to use the golf ball that fits that method the best so that you can control it. And also the feel that you get off the wedges and the putter, it also just makes a big difference as well. So if we get the golf ball that performs naturally around the short game area for you, whether it's chipping, bunker play or putting, we can then fit the rest of the bag to get that golf ball to work.
That's exactly what I wanted to clarify. So controlling the ball around the green in the short game, and if there is any spin issues with regards to the fittings, you can adjust the type of head, you can adjust the shaft to obviously control the spin and launch angles, etc.
Because if you look at the driver as a whole, especially now that everything's so adjustable, you've got weights that you can move or increase in weight or decrease in weight, you've got hosel settings that you can put onto your draw or fade bias, you've got probably the most array or the highest array of shafts that you could ever have currently because everyone's making top quality product. So we can find a shaft and a head and a setting that can get you performance using the ball that you tip and putt well with.
Exactly. You said something there. Let's just go back to, and Arthur, you've mentioned it before. Green to driver.
Yeah, green to tee.
But we ran past that very quickly. The right now, 98% of philosophy for end consumers is driver.
Correct.
Not even ball comes into play.
No.
It's driver irons. Chipping or wedges, as an example, where is that at front of mind for anybody? Mm. And putter, also, even if you look at our existing infrastructure in South Africa, there is no putting facilities to fit on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the way everybody is shaped up, you will have technology. It's a sort of artificial green in the middle somewhere. And you sit there and you putt, and it comes down to a little bit of feel. Am I right? Because there's no science data really behind why.
There's no perfect way to putt.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't been proven yet.
Yes,
so
yes.
It's a confidence fear and a feel thing. And even when we do our putter fittings with the Scotty Cameron range, we don't use TrackMan.
Yes.
We don't use any technology because the technology is not going to follow you around the golf course telling you you hit a good putt or you didn't.
Yeah.
We go based on kind of the head design based on what arc style you've got.
Okay.
And then after that, confidence is key. So if the putter looks great, your confidence is going to be high. We obviously want to take that putter, make it the best version that it can be for you. But if you dive into the the tech a little bit too much with the putting, you lose your feel. Yeah. And it's very much a feel game because it's all about judgment, pace and line.
And obviously based on visual and all of that, you can determine whether he needs a 33-inch or a 35-inch putter, what sort of lie angle he needs in terms of how his putter is sitting on the ground, etc., toe up, heel up, etc. Just for our viewers, if people actually think about it a bit. So the only item you use every time is the ball.
Correct.
The second item that you use is the putter. So I love the theory, and that's why we're here today. It's because we enjoy Titleist's theory. I think it's they lead by example. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
What about the putter that probably might even save you 8 or 9 shots, 10 shots potentially? If you're having 38 putts around and you get it to 28 putts around,
yeah.
I promise you now the driver is not going to get save you 10 shots.
Yeah.
You know, so guys need to start changing their mindsets. Yes, putters are pricey, but not as pricey as a driver.
No.
Not as pricey as a putter. You know, some putters are retailing at the moment, depending on where you look, from $6,000 to $10,000 to $12,000. It's still in the range of acceptable because you're using it a lot. Yeah. So I encourage people to try change their mindsets and their style of thinking to say, well, look at it this way because the putter is important. That's the only thing that gets you in the hole.
Yeah.
And then you write the score. You don't start writing the score on the tee box.
Exactly.
But anyway. But
we still have consumers that think they go into a shop and they say, can I have this professional names? Can I have his driver? What they don't understand is there's about 30 people in teams behind these people that trains their bodies, their rotations. We can never take a philosophy of the 1% of golfers and apply that to the general consumer that plays golf. They have management teams, coaches around them that helps them with rotations and weights and training to get their bodies to be able to hit a particular driver or particular head a certain way. We're just not lined that way. Can I ask the two of you just quickly, what's the top 3 things that you hear when people come and fit with you?
So most of the time when a customer walks in the door, obviously you have a little chat with them before we start, ask them what they expect from the fitting and what they're looking to get out of their new clubs, whether it's a driver, putter, wedges, or irons. Number one for me would be consistency. They want to hit the middle more often because they know if they can do that, they're more likely to hit it straighter and further. So consistency, distance, but within reason, so you're not going to look for extra distance with the wedge. So it obviously more when they come for a driver, maybe some irons, they're going to look for a little bit more distance. Then third would probably be the actual aesthetic and the look of the club. So they don't want, maybe the ego is a bit at play, but they don't want an oversized head. They might need it. So then it's my job to kind of work through that, let them hit the one that they think they might like.
Yeah.
And then give them the one I think might be the better option. And then we look at the numbers to see what the best option is. And it's, at the end of the day, it's their choice because they're the consumer. It's their game of golf. Myself and Arthur, when we do our fittings, we're there to guide them through the process. We obviously know exactly what each head and shaft's supposed to do and what the settings are. But at the end of the day, they're the one that needs to take it on the golf course. So if they don't like the look and the feel, the confidence is low from the start. So if they do decide to purchase, it might not last that long in the bag before they're back for another fitting or they go and try another brand or something else. So we'd rather try and pair a confidence-inspiring look with performance that's going to tick all the boxes that they're looking for.
Nice. I want to get back to the look and feel at some stage.
For me, I think I'm a bit different because we do all the brands at TrueFit. So my first question is, are there any brand preferences? And then from there onwards, I'll get that list of brand preferences. So I have an idea because also I'm not a salesman, I'm a fitter. Okay, that's my complete job at the end of the day. Whether you walk out of the Spalding, that's your own in your bag, and that thing operates perfectly for you, or work with the leave with the latest and greatest, so be it. My job is to give you the information and make sure your clubs are fitted, you enjoy the game, you're not wasting your money, and. And then like Flinty said, you know, what type of style and look and feel from an aesthetic point of view, you know? Are you looking for a hollow body design head? Are you looking for a semi-blade? Are you looking for a slim look, you know? And I do tend to sometimes say, do you have a budget in mind? Because certain brands have a price point.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not literally going to go to the most expensive club and start there. I actually start from the cheapest and move up.
Yeah.
just by the way I do it, you know, because sometimes the cheapest is the best from a performance point of view. So, you know, I always start from the bottom and move myself up. And then at the end of the day, for me, for all my customers, I want to educate them.
Yeah.
So that when I'm not there and they go to some place that is selling them the golf clubs, they know what questions to ask. They know what to look for. They know if they're being bullshitted or not. Because my job is to tell you about the shafts, about the heads, why are we doing that, et cetera, so that you can also help yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, I want you to trust me in what I'm saying and give you all the information in the world for you to understand, but to help yourself, not me.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my job at the end of the day.
So just 2 points there. The one is look and feel. I must be honest, I never realized. And if I go back into my game when I started when I was, you know, 10 years old, the look, once you over it, the address is a mind part of the game. And then I thought, okay, that's a consumer thing. But if you even look at your recent documentaries that Titus just released, their journey towards speed, the professionals, the first thing that they qualify is the look and feel. Before they even lift the club to hit a shot, they go, you know what, I feel good on this one.
Well, it's the first step in hitting a good shot, because if there's doubt in the mind, I mean, how often are you actually going to hit a good shot?
Yeah.
So it's step number one, yeah.
And then mixed bags, just hear me out here. So Arthur and I played Pretoria Country Club a while back. In my mind, I should be playing blades. So my whole life I've been playing it, and Arthur in his classiness that he normally approaches it with, he says to me afterwards, listen, Alvin, I think you need to review the clubs that you've got in your hand. And I asked him why. And he said, listen, up to your 4-iron, I'm comfortable that you can, you know, you can strike the ball. Your capabilities, you can strike the ball. But after your 4-iron, I get a bit worried. You know, and it was. It's a reality. But what I didn't realize is that you guys can give me a head or a shaft to run my, say, 8-iron, 9-iron, you know, wedge and et cetera. But you can make changes as it comes down towards my longer irons.
Correct.
Maybe I'm completely stupid in this, but I never thought that that would even be an option, you know. And that tells you the customization that you guys can get through to. So that every club that you have in your bag, and which, what are we allowed now, 14?
14.
Every club in your bag serves a particular purpose for your particular swing or approach to the particular game. And that was enlightening to me.
I know, you can also elaborate. Let me start. So the nice thing about us is we can actually assess, just on a couple of shots, the level of play. And we're there to guide on what type of heads they need to make the game enjoyable, to score better, to be more consistent, etc. And, you know, whether you come to Titus or to TrueFit, we can sell you and fit you into a combo set. So you could go into a cavity back from your 4-iron to your 6-iron. You could go into your blade from your 7-iron to your wedge. Titus can do the same.
Yeah.
You can go into a hollow body in your 4-iron, cavity back in your 4 and 5-iron, 7 to pitching wedge and a blade. The world is your oyster. You can even go opposite way if you want to be that hero.
Yes.
But that's crucial. And I'd like to see where you can go purchase a combo set anywhere in South Africa if you don't get fitted properly.
Yeah.
I'd encourage people to go search for that. And once they do find it, let me know. So I'm also just throwing it out there to all the guys what's the point?
Yeah.
You want to give that consumer the best possible combination for it.
Yeah.
That's the objective of today's episode and why we're here today. Simple.
So, Plinty, you walk into Titus, it's intimidating.
It is.
And if I say intimidating, it looks like I'm walking into a $1 million shop. So my immediate thought would come to me, it's like, okay, well, if I come here, cost. You know, it's just going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
What is the cost and turnaround attached to something like this?
So also just to go back to that point, when you arrive at our National Fitting Center, we try to mimic exactly what we've got in the US, the UK, Asia, in terms of the way it's designed, the technology that's used, and the way that everything is set up. So it is a premium look, and obviously it's only been open since last year, May, so it's not even a year old yet. So everything still looks really good, and it's going to stay that way. If you don't know that much about golf, it's quite intimidating, because you think, sure, how am I going to hit all of these golf clubs? I'm going to be tired by the end of it. So we obviously try and soothe the customer when they walk in and have a chat with them, make them a cup of coffee, get them something to drink, have a sit down and just chat to them, and kind of, we need to get them to feel comfortable in the environment, because they don't know who I am. They obviously, just because of my position, expect me to be a good golfer. So they think, oh, okay, I don't want to swing badly in front of this guy. So they put extra pressure on themselves, which is not necessary. I'm not here to judge you or to do anything
give,
like that.
You're going
to
give them an A+.
I'm not going to give them a mark, yeah.
At the end
yeah.
of the,
so
yeah.
Your swing is your swing. For now, we're taking a snapshot of what you've got, and we're going to try to get you clubs that work better for that.
For your swing.
So the best thing you can do is just swing your swing. Mm. Instead of trying to manipulate a draw on it because you think that's going to get you more distance, or try and hit it 10 miles an hour harder or faster than you would normally. But that's not what you're going to do on the golf course. So if you do that, we're going to fit you for the swing that we see.
Mm.
Then you take it on course and you swing nothing like that.
Yeah.
The driver's not going to work.
Correct.
Irons aren't going to work. Wedges aren't going to work. So you're going to waste your money. You're going to be pretty upset about it. You're going to think that the fitting atmosphere and the actual knowledge that we went through on the day isn't valid, because you put a different swing on it compared to when you're out on course. So the best thing you can do is just pitch up with what you got and we make it work.
Mm.
Then when it comes to just the other aspects of it, we have to get you the best performing all-round club. So we're not going to look at the one good drive that you hit or the one good iron shot. We're going to look at the bad ones, because if we can make the bad ones better, you're going to play better golf. Because I've never heard someone say, I birdied that hole because I hit my driver 10 meters further than normal.
Yeah.
But they'll often say, I double bogeyed that hole because I pulled my driver left, or I duffed my iron into the bunker, or I thinned my chip over the green. So if we can take out your worst possible shot with each aspect of the bag or whichever one you're looking at on the day, you can then turn that double bogey or bogey into par or birdie opportunity, depending on your capability.
Yeah.
So we need to get something that's going to take away the miss. Normally, if you take away the miss as well as you possibly can, confidence goes up. Confidence goes up, you're free to swing a little bit harder.
There's pressure.
So then you hit it further automatically.
Mm. Yeah.
So if we can get accuracy first, that's what I tend to focus on. As you get to the end of the fitting where you should be losing speed because you're tired, you actually hit it further because the confidence is now through the roof.
Yes.
So you just kind of break your own ceiling in terms of that kind of stuff. So when someone walks in and says, I want distance, I say, okay, we'll get you that, but
right at the end.
Yeah, you'll see that at the end.
Let's first get onto the first step.
Yeah, but we've got to, I mean, step number one for us is we've got to make sure you're playing the right golf ball.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're a golf ball company. We've got the Pro V1 and Pro V1X here for fitting purposes, so we're using proper golf balls.
Yeah.
So it's the same one that you can buy in the shop, and it's the same one that we hand out to our customers just as a thank you for their time and their effort.
I'm going to work. Want mine when I leave.
Yeah, 100%. At least one.
Just remind me. And Nick is also needing some golf balls.
Nick needs a few. So,
to start with, do golf balls.
Yeah. Little bit. So the whole idea is we want to see the actual ball fly, because it is an indoor studio that hits out onto the range with proper golf balls.
Yeah.
So there's none of this hitting into the unknown where you say, the monitor says it did that, but I don't think that one had a fade on it, or I don't think that one had a draw on it. But yeah, you can see information, and what you're seeing with your eyes is going to match up. So that does help a lot as well.
And I think with South Africa especially, we are very fortunate with decent weather, decent to good weather all year round.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Especially Joburg.
Yeah, which is great, especially Joburg. So an outdoor fitting experience is world class. Go anywhere around the world and search for it. I mean, you do have those places, but generally, you go anywhere around the world and it's an indoor fitting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's crucial for the customers to see the ball fly, to see their spin rates, to see their bad shots.
Yeah.
And we all know you can adjust any monitor system or radar system in a positive or negative way to get an outcome.
Yeah.
Anyone, whether it's a 30 grand to half a million rand monitor system, whatever, you can adjust it.
Yeah.
So the nice thing about an outdoor fitting is if a guy hits the 150 sign and he's got his rangefinder and, you know, the radar system says 150,
there's a visual
and there's a confirmation.
Yeah.
So we can't really, sorry for the language, bullshit our customers with regards to distance and all of that.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this is unreal.
Yeah.
We are very fortunate to have these things in South Africa.
But Arthur, it's also, you know, it's also...
Nothing against indoor.
No, you can still do an unbelievable job indoor.
Nothing against indoor.
There's also a little bit of practicality. You know, so if the world has space everywhere, you know, everybody would just be on wages. But then I can tell you now, clubs will have to be double the price. Because that's now course management and extra cost that you have to incur and take into consideration. But that's where I love technology. Technology has adapted so that you can still get a very accurate outcome, whether it's an indoor or an outdoor environment. Yeah. Because technology has adapted to that.
Correct.
And we're all very used to that anyway. Mm. There is a little bit of practicality. I mean, I know for a fact, here at Bryanston, which I've been a member of for a decade plus, when this came on and it was heating mats, there was a big contention around the grass that was missed. But then you have to go back, the practicality of managing grass, the people that you have to put in here. Then we need to understand that if you want to, then you're going to pay $200 for your 60 balls that you need to bring in here.
Yeah.
And consumers aren't ready to take on that expense. Plus the other thing, just hear me out. Guys, we're not 1% of professional golfers here. Okay? Nobody's playing for $7 million this weekend. There is no way that an amateur can tell me my stock yardage is 186 in this. Yes, on a great shot. Yes, 60% of the time or 40% of the time. But I really like what you both said there about our misses. That's where we need help. And Arthur, the last time I sat down with you and you took me through, and I think it was the T200s, and I said to you that what I feel is my misses are now better. I couldn't care about the exact spin rate, the exact launch angle. Because, guys, we don't operate on that level.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, not talking to the professionals out there. I'm not talking to the strikers that dedicates 4 hours a day to golf. I'm talking about every other dormitory person on the golf course. But we all know this. We can't even say, I'm going to shape this one with a draw or fade. I'm going to hopefully shape it as a draw or fade. But actually, one of the things that amateurs is like, why do we even want to shape it? It should be a straight shot. And please, I'm now probably going against some of the big golf coaches, but I'm just saying that we need to keep it very practical.
Mm.
And what I enjoyed about when I fitted, it happened just to be on that day, the tightest, the feel for me is my misses became better. And that's a confidence booster.
When it comes to the indoor topic that you were saying, so the technology does jump in and it does make a big difference, but it also depends on how you decide to use it and what you use in tandem with that.
Yeah.
So from our side, just being a golf ball company and the industry leader there, we developed something called the RCT golf balls. So instead of, if you are using something like a TrackMan or FlightScope or GC Quad, the more reflective the golf ball, the better it is for the technology to pick it up.
Yeah.
So we built that into our golf ball without changing the feel, the performance, the spin.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a lot of clever engineering that went into that, but using something like that makes it a lot easier, a lot more accurate. So if this wasn't a facility where we would hit out onto the range, that would be the golf ball that we were using.
Yeah.
Obviously, it comes at a price because it's a premium ball, but if you're going to do it right.
Yeah. Correct.
If you have your own setup at home that you just use for practice, rather use the best possible golf ball because you're not going to lose them.
No.
You're hitting it in your garden or your garage. Yeah. So rather use that to make sure that all your efforts are actually worthwhile and the numbers are good.
Yeah.
Because if you're using a golf ball that's 30 years old and it's got no cover left because you've hit 5,000 shots of it into the net, the numbers are going to start to look a bit funny.
Yes.
So, that's just like my 2 cents worth on that.
And then I think Nick is getting already cold here before he's just standing and listening and smiling. But with regards to the mist, just using you as an example, and we play the PCC.
Yeah.
Now, you can hit your 7-iron 190, but also 150, 140.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
You know,
That feels like that's my standard gap.
That gap is tremendous. And I'm using you as an example, and there's so many out there.
Yeah.
And looking at the mist, and that's why I love looking at the dispersion pattern. You're looking at your best to your worst. Now, if your best to your worst, whether it's left, right, long, I don't care, best to worst, if that is more than 15, 20 meters, how are you going to know if you're going to cover the water 5 out of 10 times.
Yeah, you don't know.
The water carry is 150 and your yardage is 160. Listen, if you miss it, that thing's middle dam.
Yeah.
Why choose a golf club that's going to 5 out of 10 hit you middle dam? And are you standing there? Yes, but now I need to strike this thing to get over the water.
Anxiety goes up.
Pressure goes up.
Yeah.
And people wonder why they can go shoot 36 and 46.
Yeah.
because their golf clubs are not allowing them, and which obviously then affects the mental side as well. But you want to go play with freedom. If we can get that miss as small as possible, the freedom comes automatically.
Your peace of mind goes up.
You can actually go out. And yes, some people screw it up on their own, but that's all in internal. But sorting out that miss is going to have that peace of mind and that freedom to actually do what you need to do and sort of trust.
So we all understand dispersion, but please can you just give it to me in layman's terms? What is dispersion? Are you talking about distances between the bad and the good shot? What do you refer to when you said?
So dispersion can be both in terms of length off the tee or from the pin, but then your width of the circle as well.
So horizontal.
We would look at it as a round circle. So how far did the furthest one go? How short did the shortest one go? How far right did the furthest one go? And how far left did the furthest one go? And then also, where is that relative to your nucleus? So where are most of the golf balls based? Are they slightly right of target, left of target? Because then you can say, okay, everything's going slightly right of target, might be a bit of a fade today. The one that goes furthest to the right is only 5 meters, but the one that is probably a double cross and they hooked it around the corner missed 25 meters left.
Yeah.
So that one is more likely to get you in trouble because no green is going to have 25 meters of space.
Yeah.
There's going to be a bunker, dam, trees, maybe the next hole even.
Yeah.
So we would then focus on getting rid of that one. And then we obviously want to try and get your distances as tight as possible so that you know if it's 160 to the pin, if I had a bad one, it's going to go 155. I'm probably still going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because there's 5 meters of green between the dam in front and the pin.
Yeah.
And if I hit it really well, it's only going to go 5 meters past.
Yeah.
Instead of flying the green by 10 and then ending up on the next tee box.
Yeah.
And then you've got an impossible shot. But you hit a good shot. It was out the center. You hit it straight. Why were you punished?
Yeah.
That's essentially, if we talk about that dispersion, we're trying to get that as tight as possible just so that this game becomes predictable.
And also what dispersion does then for you, one out of a fitting, because yes, now you get fitted by clubs and it's wonderful. But actually also, if you really pay attention, the data that you get back from that is something you can really use on course. And I'll give you an example. I'm under a tree. I need to have a recovery shot. I need to actually hit a 7-iron or 6-iron a little bit more from the back to get underneath the obstacle. But I know, based on my dispersion numbers, that if I hit it right here, I'll still get the particular distance to get it out there and onto the green or wherever that recovery ends up. I'm just talking from a practical perspective, from an amateur perspective. And I think this is what's really exciting for me about today, that, you know, fitting is something not just to go walk away with particular clubs, but it also gives you data parameters where you are in your golf game across whichever part you were fitting.
You know, your line balls could be wrong.
Yes.
Your turf interaction and impact could be toe strike or heel strike, and that can determine your face movement at impact. You know, the kick points of the shafts.
Yes.
Every shaft has got a bend profile. So if you have predominantly 90% of golfers tend to miss it right because the club face is open. If you go for a softer midsection bend profile shaft, the face is going to square up, hypothetically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can narrow dispersion by using the right lie angle, shaft, etc. And that's how detailed the fitting can get. It's not, okay, let me take this head and shaft, put it together, this is my starting point.
Yeah.
And you know, let's go and let's hope for the best.
I'm already
looking at you when you're warming up.
Yeah.
I'm already looking at where your miss is going, how if it's going right or left you. So by the time we're already starting, I know where to go.
Yes.
It's not like I'm guessing. And maybe when I started fitting, I promise you it was a guessing game, but you learn over time.
Yeah,
you learn
quickly.
You as well. But there's a lot of analysis that goes on in our heads to try get to what we need to. And it's super technical. That's our job. You can just hit the ball and we'll determine which direction we need to go.
Yeah. So before we go into the fitting, and this is where I will end and these two boys will take over. Nick, thank you also very much for your time today. And when you see, when countries have to come together, it shouldn't be about individual countries. When we come together to try and raise a particular concern within the human race to try and make it better. Today, the three of you are coming together to really help consumers educate them on it. I mean, and that's why I'm so glad that you guys were open-minded to say, in essence, we're sitting with two competitors here. But that's the way that the world has gone to. If you look at any other big sport, they're coming together for the greater of the game. Each individual brand, any individual person is going to do what they need to do. So thank you for you guys holding hands today. And also to our consumers today, you're going to get two perspectives on some stuff. There's some stuff that you'll see they'll completely agree on because that's technology, it's data, and not one of them can have a different opinion. They can maybe have a different opinion on how to approach it. But today, listen to the two approaches. We are so hopeful that this will be really valuable to you. And engage with us on this one. And if we need to do a follow-up to go into particular more details, because we don't want to make this video 4 hours today, but we're going to quickly run through the principles of fitting, and these two are going to guide us from here. So treat Nick like a normal consumer today. He's nervous. I've already spoken to him. He's nervous, like any consumer would be. And if we could just go back one step here, can I just ask you guys, I go into a retail store today and I pick up a standard set of tightest clubs or whichever other club I pick up today in the shop. What is the difference between that and coming to you or coming to you in cost?
So I'm sure Arthur will agree, but it very much depends on what setup you get fit into. So most importantly, the biggest variance is going to be on the shaft and the grip.
Okay.
If you're going 100%. For a set of T100 heads, you're not going to be, I mean, it's the same head the whole way through.
Yeah.
Whether you get it at TrueFit, if you get it here, any of the other stores where it's available. So the shaft is the main thing that's going to be,
I know with regards to Titleist, I think there's two upcharge shafts. It's a steel fiber shaft and a C-taper.
Yeah, so the KBS C-taper, Nippon Modus in a 130 extra stiff, to the best of my knowledge, that's upcharge.
Liam, if you watch the episode, I charge you normal retail. You scored on me on your Modus 130X, by the way.
And then, the steel fibers.
Yeah. So yeah.
And
I
then
think
the standard graphite, obviously, correct. Is a little bit more expensive.
So there's no price difference whether you come to me, 20, Nick at Four Ways, wherever you go. There's no cost difference. The only difference is, hypothetically, is the quality difference. You've got all the different shaft options on display to hit and say, this is what you need. Yeah. You know, and you're not going to leave with your clubs today. That's not going to nothing.
But let's talk about that, Tiliran, because it's quicker than people think.
It's quicker.
It is very much stock dependent.
It's stock dependent, and then also how busy the manufacturers and how busy everyone is, you know. If we're building, 20 clubs, 20 sets of golf clubs in the next 3 days, the next guy's going to wait longer. You know, Titleist have also got a big order book that they need to run through. You know, it's not like there's processes to be...
But it gets built in South Africa.
So it gets built down the road here in North Riding. If it is a special order, so perhaps we don't have the shafts or the heads are low on stock, then it will be built in the United Kingdom in our warehouse there, and then it will be shipped over. So that, I mean, at the moment, just to give you a snapshot in terms of a waiting period, it would be, let's say, 2 to 3 weeks from when the order is placed with us.
Okay.
Correct. And then just also to
with a particular shaft or
the one that they got fitted for.
With the air club.
Okay.
All the angles are bent correctly for them, length, shaft.
Grip, shaft, length, lie angle, swing weights, everything is done. And listen, I also want to, I know every customer wants their clubs yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and
because the moment you walk out of here, like, I can't play another round.
As soon as you fall in love, you can't hit the other clubs again.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you guys surely understand that from our perspective.
Listen, of course. I'm playing golf next week Friday. I'm not going to get my stuff in time. Mine's taking 6 weeks, you know, because I'm that tough.
Yeah.
I need special things. But just for the people out there, you know, nothing good is rushed.
No.
You know, we want to make sure we tick every single box from the fitting perspective to the building perspective. I promise you, if you rush me, I'm going to make it. It's human error.
Yeah.
People are going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's my problem because of your problem that you wanted it quickly.
Yeah.
And nothing against my customers. I love my customers. They treat me well. I treat them well. But
they're just excited.
They're excited and they're like little kids in a candy store. And some, like, listen, COVID was a mess with shafts and grips.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
It's hectic.
I'm surprised we survived, to be honest.
There was a purple patch as well.
Huge purple.
Yeah, we were very lucky with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, good things take time. You're not going to leave with the clubs today. I'm also not going to stock 3 million rand worth of golf clubs in my store, hypothetically, even more.
Yeah. Plus mine. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be driven to sell my stock, not to fit you properly, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a simple, simple understanding. It's not rocket science.
So if somebody says they can have it in 24 hours, I think you should be concerned with that.
Listen, it can happen.
Yeah.
So there's some manufacturers that can do it.
In a general sense.
Correct.
If you can get your clubs in the next few hours, you know.
Well, there's either a really big team behind the brand helping to build it and everyone's working very efficiently, which is great.
Yeah.
But as long as that matches your fitting specs.
Yes.
And there shouldn't be any concern.
Correct.
So the time frame, not that much of a worry, but if you watch this, as soon as the video is aired, that time frame does seem a bit optimistic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could happen. You could come for a fitting with either of us and get fit into a product that is standard.
Standard.
Nothing's stopping you from being able to get it that same day.
Yeah.
If you find someone that's got it.
Yes.
So it is possible. It just depends on what gives you the best performance.
What you were fitted into.
Exactly. And what is that available or not.
Mm.
If it's not, I mean, you've come through, do the fitting, you've spent money, like obviously taking time off work, but then paying for your fitting. Everything. So you've done so much already, why not just wait that extra little bit and then your investment becomes a long-term investment because it makes sense for you.
Yeah.
If you rush and you just impulse buy, the chances of it actually fitting you is very rare. So your investment becomes very short-term and then you have the hassle of playing bad golf. You have to find a new driver or a new set of irons or different wedge that works.
Yeah.
So then you end up coming for another fitting.
Yeah.
And then you learn your lesson, hopefully second time around.
But also those guys that impulse buy, I promise you they reach myself and Nick and
afterwards.
You're going to stump your head a couple of times to realize, okay, this is not the right way of doing it.
Yeah.
Where will I go that's going to be honest and truthful and actually now I just want to get the right product.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to bump your heads a couple of times to figure it out on your own. So those guys are also great, you know, because they need to learn. Eventually they will come to us as well. So,
but I think also it's just a sign of the times, because most of the time when you get these impulse buyers, it's your golfer that's been playing for a while.
Mm, yeah.
And they say, I've always played this shot, so I'm just going to get the new head with the same shot.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, their swing's changed. They've gone from hitting a draw to a fade. They've lost 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So things that did work, and they kind of made it work because custom fitting wasn't a thing if you were playing competitive golf 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So you had to take what you got. I mean, if you tried to bend it over your knee to get the angles a bit better, that was great, but there was no scientific way of doing it.
Yeah.
But then they had to kind of manufacture a swing to get the club to work.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you think about the older golfers, that might have been a reason why some of them did really well and some of them didn't. It's because the shafts that were available fit that golfer. You could have had a guy that was equally as talented, he just wasn't able to work with that
shaft. Those type of shafts.
So I mean, it's what they had, so they had to make a plan. But now you've got so much option. Why wouldn't you take a little bit more time to make sure that it's going to be the best, because membership fees are expensive, green fees are expensive, golf equipment is expensive. Playing a proper golf ball that's going to give you the best performance realistically is expensive.
Yeah.
So if you say, no, I don't want to spend, like for us, a 3-hour full bag would be 900 Rand. So no, it's too expensive, I don't want to, but you're going to go and spend 40, 50,000 Rand for a whole bag. And then in 2 years, well, not even 2 years, less than that, no, you're going to be swapping it out because it doesn't work. We're not here to make money from the fitting. We just want to maintain the facility.
Yeah.
So we've got tea, coffee, we've got water for you. We do give you golf balls just based on the recommendation from the fitting process.
But there's also a person's time.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're here to cover costs.
Yeah.
We're not going to be like, okay, well, 10,000 Rand for your fitting.
Yeah.
And we're going to charge you that because you have 50,000 Rand to spend on golf clubs.
Yeah.
That's not the idea. It's also just to make sure that people arrive for their fitting.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Previously, I was doing the fittings on the house, and every now and then you'd get a customer that just didn't pitch up.
Yeah.
And it's because there wasn't any consequence.
Yeah.
It's not that they didn't want to come for a fitting. It's just maybe something came up at work.
Yeah.
But because it was free, they didn't feel a need to give me a call and anything like that. So it is twofold. But I mean, the main thing is to make sure that we can give you the best possible facility with the best golf balls for fitting the best technology available and to make you comfortable. So when it comes to a custom fitting that's going to happen here at the Titleist National Fitting Center, being a golf ball company, we know the importance of the range of golf balls that we have. So I know you guys do the same as well at TrueFit, Arthur and Nick, where you need to make sure you're playing the right golf ball. And luckily for us here with this magnificent facility, we can use Pro V1 and Pro V1 X to do the fittings with. But we always start just with the general fitting on the golf ball. And it's just a chat to find out what the customer is looking for from their golf ball so that we can narrow it down and we can then test a little bit further later on. So as you all know, the Titleist Pro V1, that's been in the market for a while now, and it's been the number one ball on tour for many a year, with some of the best players in the world making use of that. So the Pro V1 is our flagship golf ball. It's the original high-performance golf ball that we produced. And for most golfers, it's going to suit your game just fine. But the finer detail of it is it's going to be a mid-flight, mid-spin with a nice soft feel. So if around the greens, you like that nice soft feel just off the putter and you're chipping, and you prefer to have a slightly lower spinning golf ball there, Pro V1 is going to be the answer. Then moving on to Pro V1 X, this is a higher launching and higher spinning version of Pro V1. So Pro V1 X is going to feel a little bit firmer as well. So if you enjoy what we call a clicky feel on your wedges and your putter around the green, and you enjoy hitting slightly higher chip shots and pitch shots that have a bit more bite on them, Pro V1 X is going to do that in comparison to Pro V1. Then we've got AVX. So this actually stands for alternative to V1 and X. So that golf ball is designed to be a lower launching, lower spinning version of Pro V1 with a softer feel. So for golfers that tend to hit the golf ball quite high, they tend to be high spin players. They're looking to use the golf ball to bring the flight down and to get that softer feel. AVX is going to be the one that suits you the best. And then this box on the far left here is the Pro V1 X Left Dash. So that golf ball essentially was a tour ball before we brought it into the commercial side. Its formula is a Pro V1 X at the core, but a low spin version of Pro V1 X, because that is our highest launching, highest spinning golf ball that we manufacture. The Left Dash is a high launch, firm feeling golf ball that spins less than a Pro V1. So in terms of getting maximum height down to the lowest possible height, Left Dash will fly the highest, then the standard Pro V1 X, then Pro V1 with the AVX flying the lowest. In terms of spin, Pro V1 X will be the highest spin, then Pro V1, then Left Dash, and then AVX.
If I had to just interrupt quickly talking sure. about your premium balls, I know there might be a, let's call it a facade when it comes to compression and yes. club head speed with the golf balls.
Yeah.
I know you can elaborate more on that, and I know we have the answers to that, but I think you can elaborate more.
Yeah, 100%. So for a long time, people believed that you needed to swing it at a certain speed to be able to compress the ball enough to get the performance that you're looking for, especially with the driver. But if you just go based on club head speed, the golf ball doesn't know who you are, doesn't know how well you can play or how poor your golf is, if that's the case. It just knows that it's been hit. And if you go based solely on the club head speed, then the golf ball shouldn't work when you're hitting a slower kind of mid-iron shot or a wedge where the club head speed's not going to be that high. So if a golf ball is designed to work at a certain speed only, then it would only work off the tee box. So we rather fit golf balls from the green back to the tee, because half your game is spent chipping and putting. We get you the best performance there. And then we characterize our golf balls in terms of flight, feel, and spin. So if you have a preference to a harder golf ball, irrelevant of your club head speed, Pro V1 X and Left Dash would probably be one that you would enjoy. If you like a softer golf ball, Pro V1 or AVX would be the better option. So we have taken that compression out of it. Obviously, compression is still a part of the golf ball's construction, and it gives you a good idea as to what the feel is going to be like. But we found just in our testing, it has nothing to do with club head speed, because if you are looking for the most spin possible, looking at the Titleist range, Pro V1 X will be the best ball for you, whether you're a scratch golfer or a 24 handicap, because it is going to spin.
Mm.
So that whole compression, there's some merit in it, but it's very limited, and it kind of puts you in a bracket. So if you're a slow swinger, they say you need to play a soft golf ball. Soft golf balls tend not to spin. in comparison to something like a Pro V1X.
What is the number one ball on the LPGA Tour, if you say?
So obviously it's a title ball, but the
most
when it, yeah, when it comes to the range there, most of the time female golfers do swing it a little bit slower than male golfers. So they're looking for a little bit more height, a little bit more launch, a little bit more spin. So that would be Pro V1X, but it can change on any given day depending on the course conditions, depending on who's playing, what they're looking for. So as a general idea, that would be the one you're looking at.
Because I know a lot of people think, you know, women don't compress the ball hard enough, et cetera, and they're looking towards more these ranges.
Yeah, performance range.
Range. And Pro V1X, I even know back in the day when I was a kid, you don't have the club head speed or the compression to play with an X, so don't play with that ball.
But yeah.
It's not like that anymore.
No. Not the case anymore.
Am I correct in saying that Titleist swapped the X in the normal Pro V a couple of years ago round, where the X was the lower spinning one and the normal one was the higher spinning one? Am I correct?
Yeah, so a few years ago that was the case. We didn't intentionally swap it around, but what happened was we were very happy with the performance of the Pro V1X at that time. With the Pro V1, we found a way to get more ball speed out of it. So obviously more ball speed gives you the potential to hit it further. So we said, yes, of course, we're gonna use that technology. So what happens is as soon as you get a faster core in a golf ball, so you get a little bit more spring off the club face, because you can't have something that jumps off the club quickly and spins.
Mm.
They're always going to be opposing factors. So the X stayed in the same spot with the generation that came out where that change happened. We obviously upgraded the cover of the Pro V1X and used a little bit more technology in that to get some more consistency. Better duration, deterioration or less deterioration. Better durability. But then the V1, there was a big change there because we got the faster core. So it's not that we swapped them around, it's the X stayed in the same spot. V1 went from high spin to lower spin.
I just find that a lot of guys that come to me for fitting still mix it up and say that the X is the lower spinning one. I was like, no, swapped around.
No longer. Okay. Yeah, it's a valid question. I'm glad you asked that. Yeah. It does happen a lot still.
And then if we go towards the performance balls?
So when it comes to our performance range of golf balls, we've got Tour Speed, Tour Soft, Velocity, and True Feel. So we would obviously love it if everyone played one of our premium golf balls, because that's going to give you the best possible performance to this golf. Every possible technological advancement that we can have in a golf ball. But we understand that there are sometimes price restraints. There are also other preferences to golf balls, so maybe a softer feel or slightly lower spin. And then also, it's just in general, someone's looking for something a bit different. So if they want the softest golf ball that we can make, but that maintains the consistency and all the other positive aspects that a Titleist golf ball has, then the True Feel would be the one for them. And obviously, we know the best way to make a golf ball, but we then tone it down to make the best golf ball that we can to a certain preference that our golfers have, to that price point, to the manufacturing capabilities of the material in that ball, and then also just to hit a certain target that someone's looking for. So these two over here, the Tour Speed and the Tour Soft, so they are two-piece golf balls, where the others are three- and four-piece. So two-piece obviously gives you less cost in the golf ball, but they both have urethane covers as any of the Pro V1, Pro V1X. So it's going to give you a good amount of spin around the green. The main difference there is because it's only two pieces, so it's got the cover and the core, you activate that core at a slower club head speed. So you're generally going to get a little bit quicker ball speed, but then the spin drops off.
Yes.
So the other premium balls, we've got second and the third layer, and in the case of the Pro V1X, that third layer, it differentiates between low spin with the driver, high spin with the wedge, because it depends what layer you're activating with your shot. So with the wedge, you're never going to hit it hard enough, hopefully. You should be nice and smooth with the wedge. You're never going to hit it hard enough to get that core fully compressed. So you're never going to get that jump of ball speed, but you'll rather get the benefit of more spin that the second and third casing layers provide. So if you tend to putt from off the green because you're not that confident with your chipping, rather use a ball that's going to be lower spin, so it rolls a lot easier. So it will get to the hole with less effort from your side.
Mm.
If you like to pitch it high with a bit of spin, use the ball that's going to naturally want to do that. So you don't have to open the face as much. You don't have to manufacture the shot as often. The main difference between these two, tour speed is going to be a little bit faster off the club face, a little bit lower spin, where the soft obviously has a softer feel, slightly higher spin, but the variance between those two is pretty close. Then we've got our velocity, which is our ultimate high launch, low spin golf ball. So also a two-piece, but with the dimple design, we've got it to launch nice and high with low spin. So if you're looking for as much distance as you can get, you're not too worried about the greenside performance, because most of the time you're rolling it onto the green with a hybrid or 8-iron, and you don't really get the height to get the spin as well, or to get it over obstacles you're going to be running it. That ball will help you get the ball higher and rolling a little bit easier. And then, as I said, the True Feel is the softest golf ball that we make. So if your preference and the main concern is something nice and soft that meets your price point, True Feel will be the way to go.
Flinty, thanks for your time and information and all the technical aspects you've pointed out today.
Yeah, sure.
Guys, the reason why we're doing this today is to educate everyone out there. This should be a standard norm for everyone, and we just want to give our personal input and feeling towards a fitting, and I think the experience should just, you know, speak for itself. With regards to the customers and the guys watching our show, guys, please, if you want anything that we should post about, please post about it. If there's any criticism, we're happy to accept criticism. That's why we're here. We're here for you guys. So please, feel free to comment, and let us know your feelings. And then with regards to Titleist and TrueFit, we've decided from Titleist perspective, the first 20 guys will get 25% off, right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
On their fitting fee. And then with regards to TrueFit, also the first 20 guys will get 25% off their fitting fee. We just want to give back. I think it's a great initiative. Right, guys, we want to thank Kushnet and Titleist for their beautiful facility today. I think it's a world-class facility, unreal. And Flinty, once again, thank you for your time. For the viewers, guys, we're posting a link below. Please like and subscribe our channel. I think that's it.
That's it.
See you next time.
And I just want to mention, TrueFit's got facilities in Fancourt, Copperleaf, and Fourways. And obviously, the National Fitment Center for Bryanston is at Bryanston. Oh, the Titleist is at Bryanston Country Club. So please come and enjoy it. And I'm very excited to do a follow-up from this, because there's a lot more to discuss.
Definitely.
Thank you for everybody's time today.
On the next episode of The Human Golf Show,